It's the Keep 1 Million Show. I'm Dwayne.
Sean P.
It is the 9th of May, 2024.
Yes, sir.
And we have a lot to get into. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, everybody, for watching. We're on Instagram Live. We're on 90.7 FM KRDP. Listen, the number 2, KRDP.com.
Mm-hmm.
The NBA playoffs is at round 2.
Yeah.
And I've seen a blowout. The Cavs surprise everyone and blow out the Boston Celtics in game 2 in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
118-94.
Okay.
So the series is tied 1-1.
So they got home court advantage. Okay.
They're going back to Cleveland tied. And it's shocking because I'm listening and everyone is basically giving Cleveland the sweep. They really thought that Boston was going to sweep them. I kind of thought so too. But
I didn't think a sweep. I believe that Donovan Mitchell could have got him one game, so this is I had Cleveland winning at least one.
But here's the problem: I don't think this is the game Donovan Mitchell had got him. Because yeah. Check this out.
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 players in double figures,
mm-hmm.
with Caris LeVert with 21 points off okay. the bench.
All right.
Mobley with 21 points,
mm-hmm.
Mitchell with 29.
All right.
This is a whole team effort. This is not Mitchell saying, you know, I'm gonna put my team on my back. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? I'm gonna go 45 points, 50 points.
Okay.
And everybody else. No, this is a whole team effort. So
yeah,
I heard this. You know, I'm listening to people too saying that. Oh, okay, Don Mitchell's gonna give y'all one game. That was a whole team effort, so...
Well, that's not the one game, then. Because
exactly. Oh. I don't think people have underestimated Cleveland, and I think the chatter had really upset Cleveland.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
they basically... They didn't just write them off. People are talking about Celtics-Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
Like it's already happening tomorrow. And you know that's bulletin board material for players,
mm-hmm.
and for teams. These are all professionals. These are all high class, world class NBA players. So the thing is, you can't say that. You can't say they're going to get swept. You can't say they're already in the next round because mm-hmm. this is what happens.
Yeah.
Right now you have the Mavs and OKC. The Mavs are up 29-22 in the first quarter. They did get beat down Oklahoma City.
Yeah, Shai Gilgeous. Game one. Shai Gilgeous went off.
Yes, he did. 29-9-9.
Yeah.
I mean,
almost a
almost a triple double. And this new generation of players is
I'm loving it. I'm loving it.
You know, when they say that term, they got the dog in them. They do.
I'm loving it. I am loving it.
You have Anthony Edwards sending the Suns home, and now they're up 2-0 against Denver.
And they won those two. Champions. They won those two in Denver.
Yes.
So I mean, they could mess around and sweep these guys.
Anthony Edwards. Is playing lights out.
Yeah.
The two teams that I really didn't watch this season because mm-hmm. of, you know, time and basically the fact that they weren't really on TV like that is Oklahoma City and Minnesota. These are the top two teams in the West all season. Nobody really thought they would make it this far. Everyone thought that Lakers or Sam, you know, or you know, Dallas or one of these veteran teams is going to come and give them, you know, beat them down. But people call this not you know, naivete. They call it a, you know, they're happy to be here and all that. I don't think I see that. I see a hunger that I haven't seen since Kobe. A hunger I haven't seen since Jordan. You know, I mean, you see SGA hanging in the air, I mean, for a minute, and putting up a layup that should have been blocked. I mean, you see Minnesota without Rudy Gobert having defensive stretches against Denver and having them have 24-second violations, where, you know, Denver is probably the best passing team in the league with, you know, Jokic, Murray, and Gordon, and Porter Jr. They're shutting them down.
Yeah.
I've never seen a game, that game too, where they blew them out. Mm-hmm. I've never seen that before. From a defending champion to where Jokic looked pedestrian, Murray ended up getting fined $100,000 for throwing a heat pad on the floor.
Deservedly so. Somebody could have got hurt. Somebody could have got hurt.
Because of out of frustration. I mean, Sean, what do you think about this series, the Minnesota and Denver series? Like how do you think this is going to go?
This could possibly be a sweep because they won those two games in Denver. So they could go home and they could possibly sweep them. Now, I'm not going to count Denver out. I'm not going to count them out. But it's not looking good because you have to go back to Minnesota. So if Minnesota wins, if they win game three, it's a wrap. I mean, they're not, because I see that killer instinct in Ant-Man. You see it. You see it. That Kobe Jordan thing is like when they get you down, it's over with. They're not going to let you come back. It's not going to be like, sorry to bring this up, like Boston against the Yankees when that happened. I mean, it's not going to be like that. So I knew Minnesota was not like a bad team. I knew how good they really were. I just didn't think they would be doing this to the defending champs.
Yeah, and the thing is, Rudy Gobert, who just won his fourth Defensive Player of the Year award.
Yo, he gonna mess around and be a Hall of Famer because Ben Wallace, Ben Wallace went four.
There's only a few players that went four.
Yeah.
He wasn't there due to the birth of his child.
Oh, they let him take that night off? Okay.
People actually kind of going at him because they say she should have been there, but they didn't need him. Defensively, they played. They didn't need Rudy Gobert, and this really, it's hard for me to say this. I don't, you know, I'm huge in basketball, but that was the first time I've seen Minnesota play that way.
Yeah,
like the whole season. Like I said, I've been watching Minnesota, Oklahoma City because of the time, because of, you know, they're not really on TV like that. You know, a lot of their games were on NBA TV. It wasn't on TNT. It wasn't on ESPN like that until the end of the season. And they've been mowing down teams. And Minnesota's the best defensive team in the league.
Yeah. And people saying that he should have been there. The birth of your child, that's a decision between you and your woman, you and your partner.
Right.
So, personally, I'm glad I was there for, I said, my oldest, I was not there for that because I was in the military, I was deployed. I mean, that's a whole nother thing. But my two youngest, I was definitely there for that. So, you know, God commend him. Congratulations to him on the birth of his child. I don't blame him for being there.
Right. There's people going at him. For I think it's his second child.
Right.
The thing is, he was going out for missing the game. It's like, we've seen players leave the game because of the birth of their child and things of that nature.
Vince Carter went to graduate.
Right.
Well, he didn't miss the game.
But the thing is, it's like, is it clickbait? Is it just, you know, people going crazy because of that? And a lot of people really don't like Rudy Gobert because of, you know, the COVID situation and everything like that. And so, yeah, it's piling on Rudy Gobert. But, you know, he wins the Defensive Player of the Year for the fourth time. You know, it's only a few players that have done that in history of basketball. So, you know, congratulations to him on the birth of his child and on the Defensive Player of the Year award. Jokic wins another MVP.
Oh, yeah.
Third.
That was inevitable. I knew he was going to win that.
He averaged almost a triple-double, like 24, 12, and 9. The thing is, will that even be good enough to beat Minnesota? Because how they're playing, and then Rudy Gobert comes back for game 3.
Well, if you notice that Joker, he usually has issues with teams that can put a body on him, meaning girth. Like, So, you know, Minnesota, they have Rudy Gobert,
Karl-Anthony Towns,
and they have somebody else, too. I can't remember the guy.
Daniels,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like, when one of those guys... Karl-Anthony Towns might not have the girth, but he has length. It's just they could throw big bodies at him. Because remember when they went against the Lakers in the bubble, he had trouble with JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard. Yeah, he has some issues with that. So I had Denver and Boston in the finals, and it looks like I was wrong. It looks like I was straight up wrong.
That might be blowed up, right?
Yeah, I was straight up wrong. It looks like the way Minnesota's playing, it looks like it's gonna be Minnesota there. And I wouldn't. The way they playing, I'm not gonna say Boston would beat them in 7.
Now, moving on to the other series. Right now, it's the end of the first quarter, 36-32, Dallas over Oklahoma City. Like I said, game 1, Oklahoma City just unleashed something nasty on Dallas. Chet Holmgren, who is a runner-up with the Rookie of the Year award, Wembanyama wins Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, we knew he was gonna get it.
And he's looking like a veteran. You have SGA looking like he's been in the league for 10 years. You have Lou Dort hitting three-pointers. You have Giddy, you know, slashing and grabbing boards and putbacks. This team, which is the youngest team in the league, the youngest team to get to this level, how far can they go? And Sam Presti, the GM, I mean, you're talking about Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame is in his trajectory because of how he did all the way back from Kevin Durant and those guys to now this new iteration of a Kevin Durant and Westbrook and
Serge Ibaka,
Reggie Jackson, you know, James Harden. Mm-hmm. Now you have a new team, young, hungry. How far can Oklahoma City go?
They can go as far as Sam Presti can take them because free agents don't want to come there. So they have to trade and draft well. They have to trade well and draft well. And Hall of Fame, I can see Sam Presti going to the Hall of Fame as non-competitive.
Executive, yeah.
Yeah, as executive, but it's a particular term they use for people that didn't play. I can see him going in there. I would like to see him have a chip, though, as an executive. But I don't necessarily believe he needs one because you basketball people who watch it, like, this is not what we do all day. But you got some people that do this all day, like a Stephen A., Charles Barkley, all those guys. So they see it and they give Presti his props. It's like this dude puts together these really good teams, and he does. Like I said, he does not do it through free agency.
Right, it's all through the draft and trades. When you trade someone like a Chris Paul and get 4 first-rounders back, or when you trade, a Paul George and get 2-3 first-rounders back, I mean, this is the fruits of the labor.
Yeah, think about when Chris Paul went there, though. When he went there, they lost in the first round. They lost to Houston in the first round, but it went 7 games. OKC almost pulled that off.
The thing is, this is the reason why they let him leave, because they didn't want they wanted to tank. They didn't want to be good. Chris Paul was so good at that time. Mm-hmm. He propelled that team to that level. Mm-hmm. And it was like, wait a minute, hold on. We don't need to be there. We need to be in the lottery. So you got to go. So we're going to trade you and get some draft picks. And then you have SGA. You have Giddey. You have Chet Holmgren. Because of these trades and all that. Mm-hmm. The thing is, Oklahoma City looks like the Oklahoma City of the young Kevin Durant. Mm-hmm. And the young, you know, when Seattle moves to Oklahoma City and Kevin Durant was drafted by Seattle, then you have, after that, you know, you have Russell Westbrook, you have, you know, James Harden, you have these players, they end up being so good, they end up going to the NBA Finals. Against Miami, it seems so similar. It really does. And when you watch how they play, I'm not saying they're playing similar like Kevin Durant and Westbrook, but they play tenacious. They play, you know, the right way. Their coach is the coach of the year. So it looks so similar, mm-hmm. and it wouldn't put it past me if they can make it. If they beat Dallas, which, you know, right now they're right on their heels, it's 40-37. Mm-hmm. You know, if they go up 2-0 at home, go to Dallas, yeah, it could be a wrap for Dallas. Luka Doncic is kind of off in this series. Kyrie Irving looks like he needs to kind of, you know, get out of his shell. You know what I mean? And kind of go crazy. And if they don't, it's over. You know, you have Oklahoma City moving on to the Western Conference Finals. And if they play something like Dallas, you know, Denver and Minnesota, this could be something we've never seen before. The yeah. youngest team in the league, one of the youngest teams ever, making it to the finals, it could happen.
It could happen. You're good.
We're going to go to break. We're going to come right back. We're going to talk about the Eastern Conference playoffs. And we're going to also later on get into the major battle, Kendrick Lamar, Drake. We're going to go all in on that. So keep it locked right here. It's the Keep Winning the Show.
Zerr.
Wayne.
Sean P.
90.7 FM, KRDP. And we're live on Instagram. Please like, share, follow. We need a lot more listeners, a lot more followers. But when it comes to the NBA playoffs, you have on the Eastern Conference, the Cavs and Celtics tied one game apiece, 118-94. Mm-hmm. Cavs beat the Celtics tonight. And the Knicks are beating the Pacers up 2-0 against, you know, 130-121 is the last game. OG Anunoby is actually injured. He won't play game 3. Sore hamstring. Jalen Brunson had a hurt foot and he came back. They compared to Willis Reed, which I think was blasphemous, but it is what it is.
Yeah, man.
the Knicks-Pacers series, I can see the Knicks winning that series because they did take care of business. Rick Carlisle is going crazy with the calls and has submitted all kinds of calls he thinks they're wrong to the NBA, which mm-hmm. absolutely means nothing because you're going back 0-2 in Indiana. Do you see the Pacers coming back?
I got the Knicks taking this. The Knicks take it. Well, let me say, gentlemen, sweet. I think Indiana can get one in Indiana. But Knicks close this out fairly quickly, and then play whoever comes out of Cleveland, Boston. Because I would have said definitively,
Right. You know
what I mean, Boston, but Cleveland just blew them out. So.
Cleveland saw the newspaper clipping. Listen to the podcast and to the shows that was just basically writing them off and got upset. And I think that's what happened here against Boston. Is Cleveland was like, hey, we're not finna lay down. You know what I mean? But going back to the Knicks Pacers series, the main problem with the Knicks is injuries. The Knicks have so many injuries throughout the season. And now you have OG Anunoby, when he's on the floor, they're so above 500. They're like a 600 or 700 team. Without him, they're like below 500. Or, matter of fact, they're at 500. And he's a huge part of their defensive, how they play defensively.
Yeah.
Mitchell Robinson, who's going to be out for the rest of the playoffs with an injury. He's been injured throughout the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
And we already know, about Julius Randle being out for the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, they're basically doing this on fumes, and it's amazing because we rarely see this. You have the Nova boys,
mm-hmm.
Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart, and DiVincenzo basically just carrying this team. Hopefully they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. They haven't been in the Eastern Conference Finals since 1999.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Since it was a shortened season.
Lockout season.
They end up going to the finals and losing to San Antonio Spurs.
Well, I mean, that was inevitable.
But me being a Knicks fan, I'm just crossing my fingers, holding my breath, because I know what can happen. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It happens.
Well, I mean, you said I didn't have to bring it up. Well, I mean, I get you one. It's like when the Sixers played the Lakers in 2001. People pretty much knew. I mean, Iverson could get you one, but
yeah, that's what happened. Yeah.
And I believe did y'all get swept in that one, or was it gentleman's sweep?
No, it was a sweep.
Oh, okay.
It was.
I know what it was. I got some cousins that were Knicks fans, and I was like. I really thought y'all could get one game out of it. And it's like, I'm a Knicks fan. I knew they was going to get swept. I was like, Tim Duncan was a young Tim Duncan. He was, 2 years in the league, I think, at the time. And David Robinson was getting towards the end of his career. It was the start of the San Antonio dynasty at that point. So, I do believe the Knicks can take care of business here and get it going and against Boston, see what happens with that. Take it back to the old school, Boston. Remember with the Boston and New York rivalry right there when it was Larry Bird was in his prime.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm looking at pictures of that Celtics game and the fans are looking sad. The fans are looking so upset. They're looking real bad. They left the game, mid-third quarter. So, we'll see what happens. Game 3 in Cleveland. Right now. Yeah, right now,
uh-huh.
You still have the Dallas Oklahoma City game. Let me check that score again.
Would you say
52-39, Dallas?
Would you say that the Western Conference Finals are more exciting than the Eastern Conference Finals?
It's kind of even.
Kind of even.
It's kind of even. I think it's kind of even. I haven't got a game 7 yet, so I've been waiting on game 7. has to be game seven.
No, wasn't Cleveland Orlando game seven?
It's Cleveland Orlando. A real game seven. I'm talking about Boston, New York, or Dallas, Oklahoma City, or something like that. Even the Cleveland Boston, if that goes game seven, that would be major. Because the thing about Cleveland is, this is the first time this has been going on since LeBron James was in Cleveland. This is the first time they went to the second round in 31 years without LeBron James. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, you going back to Craig Elo, Mark Price,
so
Doherty, Orlando Blackman.
Exactly. So this is, people don't understand this for Cleveland. This is major for Cleveland.
Okay.
And if they can get to a game seven against Boston, obviously it's going to be in Boston, they do have a chance, because Boston has lost a game seven just last season against Miami. So, they do have a chance. Cleveland does have a chance. Denver does have a chance, being down 0-2.
They do.
They do have a chance with the MVP and Jamal Murray.
They do.
Now, I got a question. What did you think about Jamal Murray being suspended $100,000 for that throwing a heat pack on the field, on the court, being upset, I guess, about a call or something?
He threw a towel first, and then he threw the heat pack. I believe he deserved it, because they said it was no precedence for somebody throwing something onto the court. We know if a fan throws something onto the court, they get kicked out of the game and possibly never let them back into the arena for life, get banned for life. And we know that players, Pat Beverly, you can't throw a ball into the crowd on purpose. Sometimes you throw a pass and it goes into the crowd. We know that can happen. It's about by mistake. But what Jamal Murray has to understand is, somebody could have got hurt. Like, somebody could have stepped back and slipped. And worst case scenario, twerked their knee into a point where they got a torn ACL or something like that. Then or pull a hammy or groin. A hammy and a groin could take you out the whole series. So it was real serious. And when I saw it, I couldn't believe he did that. That was extremely thoughtless and immature, and like I said, worst case scenario, somebody could have got hurt and been out for the rest of the season into the next season. So you affected somebody's career. I understand that you are upset about calls and everything, but we gotta act accordingly.
The thing is, someone could have got really hurt, and people are actually saying that he should have been suspended a few games, or at least one game since it's the playoffs. Do you think he should have got suspended? I don't think he should have got suspended because it's the playoffs, and that would have changed. That would literally end Denver's season.
The fine is good enough. Now it's a precedence. Now if it happens again, even if it doesn't happen this season, if it happens like next season or something like that, that's when you start bringing in the suspensions. You'd be like, okay, now we found somebody already. Let's say Jamal Murray never does it again, but somebody else does it. All right, we already found Jamal Murray. We told you this is not being accepted. Now you're suspended again. That's how I believe it should go. Yes.
Yeah, because of it says not just precedence, but also, it's a pattern. Mm-hmm. So if he goes wild, next season or whatever, and cusses out a ref or throws something, he's gonna get suspended because it's a pattern. The thing is, that doesn't change the fact that Minnesota is going ham defensively on Denver. I've never seen this before, to where your best defensive player is not in the game. He's not there at all, not in the building, not in the state. And your defense is doing numbers on Denver. the best player in the world, and you can't do nothing about it. You get beat by, 25, 30, damn near. You got coach. Their coach has to make some adjustments, some type of adjustments to get some spacing. Because with Karl Anthony Towns and then you have Rudy Gobert on the floor together, their length is amazing. If you look at, them two, you have McDaniels and everything like that. Yeah, they're a big team. They're not they're not the Suns where they can go small. They're not none of that. They're not the Clippers, Minnesota is a very large team.
Yeah, long. Yeah. So
I think there needs to be something. I'm not sure what adjustment they need to make, but they need to make some adjustments, major adjustments at that.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see what they do going to Minnesota. They gotta go to Minnesota and win two. They have to win two in Minnesota, man.
They sure do. I don't think that's gonna happen.
I don't think that's gonna happen.
It's over.
Yeah, and it'd be crazy if they get swept. He just got the MVP, and if they get swept.
Yeah.
That's killer.
Yeah. Something major just happened. Frank Vogel was fired as the Suns coach. He only had one season. Lost in the playoffs.
Didn't think that was going
to Minnesota. And Budenholzer, the ex-coach of Milwaukee, is not just a front runner. It looks like they're trying to make a deal with Budenholzer right now. Is that what they were trying to do all along? We talked about this for a couple of years, that I actually thought that the Suns were going to grab Budenholzer, and they ended up with Vogel. I mean, they're trying to just go back, retract their steps.
Yeah, they interviewed Budenholzer last year, didn't they?
They did. So I'm like, why didn't they hire him then?
I don't know, but he's a defensive-minded coach. But Vogel was defensive-minded as well.
Yeah.
So, but... And
Both won
championships. Recently won championships.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's weird, but you do have him out there. I believe you have Monty Williams out there. Oh, no. I'm sorry. Monty Williams already there. He got fired by them. who else they have out there? I know. It's not going to be Adrian Griffin. They're not going to pick him up. They're not going to pick Mark Jackson. Nobody. Mark Jackson's never going to coach again. Which is a shame, but he's never going to coach again. Looks like Budenholzer, yeah, the leading candidate. Looks like he's probably going to get the job. And we'll see. We'll see what he can do. Because I don't believe it's a coach thing. I believe it's just a management thing. They have to get a bench. They have to figure out what to do. Honestly, they need to figure out what to do with Bradley Beal. Because I don't believe they necessarily need him. They can do their thing with Kevin Durant and Devin Booker and then fill out the team and fill out that bench.
You're absolutely right. Like I said, I've been saying this for a while. Their bench is non-existent. You have Eric Gordon, who possibly could retire any minute.
Yeah, he's been in the league for a little bit.
Is so streaky. You can't depend on Grayson Allen as your sixth man. That's all you have. And Bradley Beal is a no-show. He's like I said, he's that big fish in a small pond type of player. And now you're in a big pond, and you're supposed to be competing for a championship, and he's not showing up. I'm not sure a coach can change that. Because you can get the best defensive coaches in history. These players have to want to play defense, right? Players have to want to play defense.
Yeah.
You can't just tell them on their 15th year, 14th year of their career, hey, this new style and this new scheme is going to help you be a better defender. I mean, we've seen Kevin Durant be a better defender at times.
Mm-hmm.
But he's getting older.
Yeah.
We haven't seen Devin Booker be a better defender. And we've never seen Bradley Beal be a better defender.
Yeah.
Nurkic is a defender. That's his role. The rim, you know, shot blocking, rebounding. That's his role. That's who he is. That's what he does. That's why they brought him in, because DeAndre Ayton couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But who else do you have like that? You don't. You don't have anyone else like that. Bol Bol, but you don't give him no minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that is the case why you bring in another coach to try to revamp that whole lineup.
Yeah.
But you need better players. We need better defenders.
Yeah, we need to see what they I believe that they need to look at their front office and see what that front office can do and to get KD and Booker some help.
I think it's time for Jones to be gone. The GM. I think it's time for him to be gone. I think they need a new GM.
Mm-hmm.
They really do. And with that being said, we're going to come right back with more Keep One Million Show.
Is there?
But I don't have to turn that off. I don't have to turn that off.
Oh, yeah, because he took the copyrights off.
He took the copyrights off. It's the Keep One Million Show. I'm Dwayne.
Sure, P.
And it's KRDP 90.7 FM. And yes, Kendrick took the copyright infringement off of his diss tracks that actually has made these reactionary videos so much money. People are talking about his life-changing money.
Oh, for real, dang.
Yes, people are saying that because we know the podcast world.
Yeah, yeah.
That world, you can't play any copywritten song.
Nope.
We're going through this as we speak.
Yeah,
we can't play. Mm-hmm. That's why our whole format has changed. Mm-hmm. Cannot play any copywritten beats or songs, right?
And that's the reason why if you hear some of the beats, one of my homeboys did the beats, straight original beats. That'll be because we just can't play. We can't play the.
Yeah, shout
song.
Him out.
Yeah, my man Choice. Man Choice, he did
Shout
the beat.
Shout out Choice. Appreciate you, Choice.
Appreciate that, Choice.
But Kendrick said, hey, I'm going to take that off. And all these reaction videos and these dances for that They Not Like Us track, the second to last track off this whole Kendrick and Drake beef.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to start.
Go ahead.
Where this just happened, 2 weeks ago? 3 weeks
About
ago?
About 2-3 weeks ago, yeah.
Where the Future song came out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Future, Metro Boomin, and then Kendrick came out of nowhere and goes crazy on the song.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that started the beef, but the people are saying it's been going on for years. This beef between Drake and Kendrick's been going on for years.
Yeah.
And First Person Shooter, everybody knows that song.
Yeah,
Drake and J. Cole.
Yeah.
Number one record. Rumor has it that they were trying to get Kendrick on the song. He was like, no, or he was trying to get on the song and they didn't want him on the song, something like that. That goes into this beef, some of these beef records.
Mm-hmm.
Now, after that, everyone's waiting on Drake to drop. J. Cole dropped a beef track.
Yeah, but
Rick Ross dropped a beef track. J. Cole retracted a beef track.
Yeah, he retracted it.
And then Drake drops Taylor Made, what was the song before Taylor Made?
Push Ups.
Right, Push Ups.
Yeah.
He drops Push Ups, that goes crazy. then everyone's waiting on Kendrick, and then he drops TaylorMade with the AI. The AI Pac and the AI Snoop, and me personally.
Yeah, I didn't like that either. A lot of people didn't like that.
Right, and so more as the Tupac's camp didn't like it either.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. They was trying to block that. I think that's the reason why you don't hear that song anymore. It's not on there. But days and, you know, I think it was like a week later, Euphoria drops.
Yeah.
And what did you think about Euphoria?
Euphoria, you know, let's go back a little bit because J. Cole, I see all the memes out there saying J. Cole's out walking his dog, enjoying the sun, sunset and sunrise, all that. You know, J. Cole said, you know what? I don't think he was scared. People say, oh, he's scared. He did. I don't think he just, you know what? I'm good. I don't need this. Yeah, you know, like and everything. So and I don't know if anybody. I know a lot of people should have saw that live video that J. Cole did. He was on stage, and he said what he had to say. So you know, Kendrick started off with the like that. Where he said, "F the big three, it's just the big me." You know, and so. Then Drake came with Push Ups and TaylorMade and Euphoria. Euphoria, if you don't know, Drake is the executive producer on the television show Euphoria. And what K-Dot does is he starts out with Teddy Pendergrass sample, latest, greatest inspiration. So he's saying that, hey, Drake, you're my latest and greatest inspiration right now.
Right.
Then he says lines like, you make music. No, I make music to electrify people. You make music to pacify people.
Right.
You know. He also said, "I hate the way you. I hate the way right. you walk. The way walk, you say. The way talk, you say the N-word. That's a sneak diss to DMX. Cause DMX was on the Breakfast Club. Rest in peace, DMX. He was saying that about Drake, and just said." Just saying stuff, saying like I got a son to raise. You don't know nothing about that, you know. Things of that nature.
It was a very interesting track because he goes really hard on Drake.
Yes, it does.
Especially when it comes to fathering and whatnot, and then. Waiting on Drake. Mm-hmm. And then Kendrick comes with the 616.
616, yeah.
Which is, you know, I guess it was a diss to Drake's timestamp series where he does the, you know, 3 a.m. in Dallas and this, mm-hmm. and you know what I mean, like that. So he says 616, 616 in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of find out it's 616 is Father's Day in Canada.
Canada, uh-huh.
It's also, you know, Tupac's birthday. It's also O.J. Simpson's, you know, that whole trial date.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, when Drake says you need to come with a quadruple entendre, he does with Euphoria and with 616. So it's like, oh, you know, I got you.
Yeah.
Right? And he still goes in on his family and this, that, and the third, and he warns him about a leak in his camp. And what was crazy was the thumbnail was just a Maybach glove. But everyone kind of thought that was the OJ thing, which it wasn't. Family Matters comes out.
Yeah.
And that was the Drake kill shot. That was mm-hmm. Drake's, you know, coup de grace. You know, he does the three different beats like Euphoria. He goes after Drake, Rick Ross, ASAP Rocky, Metro. He goes after everybody,
mm-hmm.
you know, accuses Kendrick of all sorts of allegations.
Yeah.
You know. and everyone thought Drake won.
Yeah, this
is Drake's victory. Drake goes in, and as I'm talking like 20 minutes into people discussing it, Kendrick drops again.
Mm-hmm.
He drops Meet the Grams.
Yes, Meet the Grams.
And that was scathing, to say the least. What do you think about how Kendrick played this whole situation, going up to Meet the Grams?
Well, you know, he did the 616. Then Drake comes with
Family Matters,
where he says stuff like "Kid Maybe Dave Freeze." That's Kendrick's homeboy. And then he says something like, put your hands on your woman because she's bigger than you. Because he keeps talking about Kendrick's height. Yeah, because right. Kendrick's a short dude, so he keeps giving out the distance because of his height and everything. So I'm like, okay, you know, I'm like, all right. And says wearing white flags while they singing in the club, you know, because he's going where his back-to-back with like a club banger. He's talking about that. Then Meet the Grams. Man, that one was like he wrote a letter to everybody. I mean, man,
his mother and his dad.
He called him a deadbeat. He compared him to Harvey Weinstein. That was just crazy. That was just crazy. Because a lot of people thought that that Drizzy got him with that. But then right. when he dropped Meet the Grams, and then when he dropped Not Like Us. Man.
Because the thing about Not Like Us is, if you look, the thing is, this beef is like no other beef in rap history.
Yeah.
Because it was played online.
Yes, yes.
YouTube, Twitter.
Instagram.
It was played online to where you had to be online to follow this beef. And it was in real time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It was on the radio where you have to wait. It wasn't none of that. The thing is, when Meet the Grams came out, it was like, wow, because me personally, I'm watching the podcast and they're talking about, oh, wow, Drake went in and, you know, they're going back and forth and having phone calls with people from around the country. And then someone said, Kendrick just dropped. And they're like, no. Kendrick already dropped. What are you talking about? Kendrick dropped. We're talking about Drake. They're like, no, Kendrick dropped again. What? So the guy on the podcast is like, wait, pause. Let me pause my whole podcast, listen to this, and come back.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, whoa, what's going on? The thing that's wild is that was all in one night.
Yeah.
Then the next morning, I'm on my way to work, right? Listening to Meet the Grams and all that. I'm like, oh, wow, this is crazy. My friend, while I'm at work, texts me. And I don't think nothing of it. But when I get off work, I look and I see they not like us. What is this? Like, what? I'm like, wait a minute. He dropped again?
Yeah.
Wait, what? So I click on it and it's what everyone said bad about Kendrick. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have a club hit. The beats are sorry. I don't understand the words. I have to need, and that clown too, I was like, I need it, on Twitter I said.
Which means a thesaurus or something?
Not that, I said, Shazam needs an encyclopedia to, when you listen to Kendrick's songs, because yeah, it was deep. And this Not Like Us was concise,
mm-hmm.
It was direct. It was everything all of the critics were saying bad about Kendrick.
Yeah.
And then he made a dance song.
Yeah.
Not just a dance song. Mm-hmm. He made a dance to the dance song, to where now everybody on all social media platforms are doing OVHO dance.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they're crip walking or whatever, they're dancing, but yeah. That right there was the kill shot. That was the end, because you don't just make, like, they said Drake's song was the club song, right? Mm-hmm. Was a Family Matters. When I listen to it, I'm like, that's not a club song. This is good beats, but it's not a club song.
Mm-hmm.
But what Drake did was another level. That was a real club song. And then when you see the videos on social media where it's, they're at, people are at, you know, pool parties, people at real clubs dancing to Kendrick's Not Like Us.
Mustard on the beat. I mean,
unbelievable.
Yeah, and he had different, like you said earlier, don't say about Kendrick's production. You know, he had Mustard with
right.
that, and then he had, you said he had Alchemist
did Meet the Grams.
Mm-hmm.
Mustard did Not Like Us.
Mm-hmm.
And then Euphoria, which was the response to Taylor Made and the song before that.
Push-ups.
The beat was by two of Taylor Swift's producers.
Yeah.
So it was like, I have that power. You're gonna say, oh, I'm a pop artist, and I guess Drake kind of said, I can only do anything if Taylor Swift tells me to. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'm gonna use Taylor Swift's producers to make this diss track against you. That's chess.
Yep, not checkers.
But we're gonna get into the next hour. Please stay right here. It's the Keep 1 Million Show. I'm Dwayne.
Sean P.
90.7 FM, KRDP.
Yes, sir.